I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without him holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high and the valleys too wide. I'm down on my knees, that's where I learned to dance. But I can't even walk without him holding my hand. I think I will make Jesus my own. On when I'm in trouble, on his name I'll call. I can trust him, I'd be less than a man. Cause I can't even walk without him holding my hand.
All together now.
I can't even walk without him holding my hand. The mountains too high and the valley too wide. I'm down on my knees, that's where I learned to stay. And I can't even walk without him holding my hand.
One more time.
Hallelujah.
I can't even walk without him holding my hand. Down on my knees, that's where I learned to stand. Because I can't even walk without him holding my hand. Amen.
God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Bright. We have Sister Angel, but we have, while Sister Angel, you can come, and Sister Shanaz just has a short testimony. Amen. Testimonies are good. You come, sister. And Sister Shanaz, you can. She has a short testimony. Amen. Don't be shocked to see Sister Shanaz standing here. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I wanted to give a small testimony because I've never really thanked the Lord in public in front of everyone. So I thought maybe today would be a good day to do that. I would mainly like to thank the Lord because he has done so many things for me, and I've never really thanked him enough for what he has done.
Amen.
There were times where I was really sick and I couldn't do much. For me, being sick, it stopped me from doing a lot of things. I used to do a lot of sports, and because of being sick, I don't do those things anymore. And through my last 2 years of secondary school, I was sick during that time, but I was able to go in every day. He has given me the strength to wake up early every day, be there on time. And because of that, I passed very well, got everything done. Now I'm in college doing travel and tourism in Liberty's College. And so far, everything is going great. I'm one of the highest students. And there's 60 in my course. And out of 60, 20 students were chosen to go and train with Aer Lingus in the Dublin airport. And I'm one of them.
Amen.
And I'd like to thank the Lord for that, for giving me the strength to wake up every day, even when I'm so weak and tired. I thank him for helping me to do well and keeping me healthy. And right now, as I stand, I'm feeling a lot better, stronger, and healthier as well. So I wanted to thank him for all of that.
Thank you. My sister, she has a credit. Next week, she has to sing a song. She wanted to sing a song today, but the printer wasn't working. But is still next week if the Lord doesn't rapture us. Amen. Sister Angel.
God bless you, saints.
Up the hill with the Lord, Jesus walked up Calvary's road. No man took his life from him, but it was for us that he willingly gave. In his mind he held a vision. It was of the resurrection, and truly he paid its price. Our victory's complete in a perfect sacrifice. So he will sing in death, in death, in death, there is victory. Means freedom, and this is the way for me, for the joy before the cross to endure. For real life, this I see, that in death there's victory.
He was faithful.
No resurrection was in the end. This is the light of mine. We will go and we'll come to him again. From this we sink in death, in death, oh, in death there is victory. For the joy set before that the cross will endure. For real life, this I see, that in death there's victory.
Amen. Real life in death is victory. Amen. Jesus died, we all have to die. Amen. That's the bad news, but it's good news. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song, Take Me Past the Outer Courts, where we can experience our death. When we go into His presence, the holiest of holies, we don't do like the one pastor said. Some people, they go in there and they faint. And then they get up again, they're the same person. We want death. Amen. Hallelujah. Take me past the outer courts into that holy place. Past the praising altar. Lord, I want to see only Your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing Your praise. Hunger and thirst after righteousness, but it's only found in Your presence. Lord, take me to the holiest of holy. Take me in, Lord. Take me through the blood of the Lamb. Oh, take me to the holiest of holies. Take the coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Take the coal this morning, Lord. Take the coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Let's enter in this morning. Hallelujah. We enter in to the temple. Give thanks to the Ancient of Days, to our name. Oh, His mercies unto us. Give thanks to the Ancient of Days. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Shout, holy people, how excellent is Thy name. Praise His name, for His mercies unto us. Oh, give thanks to the Ancient of Days. Lord, we give You thanks, my Lord. Give thanks to the Ancient of Days. Lord, we give You thanks, Lord. Give thanks to the Ancient of Days. Oh, I enter this morning, Lord. I enter the holies of holies. I enter through the blood of the Lamb. Oh, through the blood of the Lamb this morning. I enter to worship You only. I enter to honor I am. Oh Lord, I worship You. We worship You, Jesus. We worship. Oh, we worship You, Lord. For Your name is holy, God. For Your name is holy. For Your name is holy. Lord, You are holy. Holy, holy God.
Amen. Saints, would you greet You in Jesus' name once again this morning? Brother David Kertu is asking for us to first, at Thanksgiving, he wants to thank the Almighty for His love and His protection during the time of the Ebola crisis in Sierra Leone and Liberia, because the Lord continues to protect my family in both countries. So we do appreciate the Lord for that. He's also asking for prayer because he's preparing to attend a second eye surgery on Monday. That's tomorrow. So we want to remember the brother on that, and also for Brother Will. He's asking for prayer for Hadassah. She's not well and she's in the hospital. So let's put those before the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, where would we be today if there was no place for us to go? Father, if we had to bear our burdens alone. Father, if we as just mortal beings, Lord Jesus, had no access, Lord, unto your faithfulness and your goodness. Father, where would we be? Father, if we had to rely just upon doctors, or if we just had to rely upon good fortune in the days of evil. Father, if, Lord, we were just those kinds of people, but Lord, you've granted us mercy. And you've granted us grace that, Father, no matter the situation, Lord, we can come unto you. Amen. Father, we can bring our hearts and, Father, bow our heads and raise up our prayers unto you. Father, we can just look unto you. And, Father, you've been so faithful to us, Lord. And, Father, as you bring these petitions upon this day once again, Father, we know that you already have heard the prayers. You've seen the desires. Lord, we think of our little sister in the hospital, Lord. And in your name, Lord, we send a word of healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we bind the enemy, Lord. Father, we rebuke him, we resist him. We say no to him upon this day because of your great victory, Lord. Because you conquered him, Jesus. Because he's a defeated enemy, Lord. Father, by faith, we put our feet upon his neck upon this day. On behalf of our brother Dave, Lord Jesus, with his eyes. Father, you are the one who gave him his eyes. Father, we're just asking of you now that you'll just do something for our brother. Lord Jesus, that Lord, you'll just take the virtue of Calvary, Lord, upon this day. The virtue of that finished work, Lord, and that you'll touch our brother, Lord. Even as your grace, Father, has kept his family, Lord, in the days of these plagues, Lord Jesus, that are passing through the land. Father, we just pray, just manifest yourself, Lord. Father, may you be his strength. May you be, Father, all that he needs at this time, Lord. Father, may he find in you, Father, more than enough for every need that he'd have. Father, may, Lord, he just find a rest in you. And Lord, as we open up your word upon this day, won't you be with us, Lord? We thank you for communion last night. We thank you, Father, for time in your presence. And Father, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So strengthen us once again upon this day. Thank you for all that has been said. Thank you for all that has been done. Thank you for the items that have been so wonderfully sung. And the testimony of our sister, bless her. Lord Jesus, help her. Lord, establish her, we'd pray. And Father, the Sunday school, Lord. And Father, the song worship, we thank you for these things, Lord. Now be glorified in your word. And in your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Saints, we just want to greet Brother Thibault and Sister Haley is with us from Glasgow, from Brother Brian Locke's church. We came down with them today, so it's really been nice to be with them. Sister Haley has been here before once, if the saints remember, and we were across with them in Glasgow during the summer. So it's really good to see them, and may the Lord make them feel welcome once again in the house of the Lord. Amen. And also just to see Brother Lamek, Brother Benaiah and them who are here, it's good to see them. Let's open our Bible, saints, to Isaiah 65. Let's read from verse 21 up to verse 25. You know, Isaiah was such a mighty prophet, but you know, I'm sure that you find it also when you read the book of Isaiah. He was such like a poet as well. Now, the way that the Lord would really inspire him to express things, there's something about the book of Isaiah. It's such a precious book. And here he's speaking about the millennium. You know, many times you find Isaiah, he puts the millennium and the new heavens and the new earth together because the millennium is but a foreshadowing of the new heavens and the new earth. You know, but he'll put them together. But in verse 21, he's speaking, he says, "And they shall build houses and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people. And mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and the offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. Amen. And whilst they are speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like a bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy, in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. We just get straight into the word today. Since last night we left ourselves at the wedding supper, we're speaking about the great coronation time, the crowning time, when we will be crowned with immortality, and then we'll crown him who made it all possible for us, and then we shall receive our crowns at the great judgment of rewards, the prophet says, because the saints will never stand in judgment to be judged, but the saints will judge the earth at the great white throne. But there's coming a time, we know, where Paul says we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And your motive and your objective and the things that we've done in this life will be examined. And it says, and every man's work will be tried as it were by fire. And if whatever we've built upon the foundation, if you built with, the Bible says, wood, hay, or stubble, then our works will be burnt. There'll be no reward for those kind of things. That's how we say our motive and our objective is the most important thing, because two people can do the same religious work and one storing up reward in heaven and another one, it's just you've got your reward already on earth. When Jesus says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You know, he says, but do it in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly in this world or in the world to come. So there's going to be a judgment of the works that we've done. You know, and then it's not a judgment unto eternal life, because you already have eternal life as a believer. He who believes in Christ, who is in Christ, has already passed from death unto life. There's no judgment for the saints. Here is our time of judgment. We judge one another, and Christ was judged for us in our souls. You know, and we have, for our shortcomings, our missing the mark in this life, we have an atonement. We judge ourselves. We washed in the blood, and that allows him to continue to walk with us and us to walk with him. But to a believer who's generally born again of the Spirit of Christ, the sin question is finished for time in eternity. You don't fear judgment anymore, because if any man is in Christ, Christ was already judged. And he said, it is finished, and we were in him. And then his side was pierced when he had already died. And the bride came out, but already he had been judged, and the work had been finished. So we were already judged in him. And the work was finished of our salvation, our full redemption in him. You know, so just in our learning process in this life, he has to chasten us and so forth as his sons. But that's not the judgment that we're speaking about. So there's going to be a judgment of rewards. So we were speaking then of getting to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I just want to read this one from God's provided way. The prophet says, I pray on that day when the crowns are given out to the saints, that I'll be standing back. He's preaching in Jonesboro. When I see the Jonesboro group come up there, he says, I'll be awfully noisy, I'm afraid. You know, some of us don't really have noisy temperaments and so forth. We're going to make noise on that day. Now, when you get there, I love that song when it says, when the saints go marching, and it says, when they gather around the throne, I'll be shouting, glory, glory. You know, when we're not limited by the flesh, and we're not limited by the protocols of man and wondering what people will think about us, but when we can really express what we've always wanted to express without being weighed down by mortality. Saints, what a day that's going to be. And the prophet says, when I see him placed, he's speaking of the crowns, I'll think of what it'll be when the Last Supper is set there in glory. And we've all overcome, and we're sitting across the table from one another. And I will look across the table and see old battle-scarred saints sitting there, tears of joy running down their cheeks. We'll just have to reach across the table and take one another by the hand. I'll say, oh brother, I'm so glad to see you. Just think of that long supper table. Then the king will come out in his beautiful garments and wipe all tears from our eyes, saying, don't cry no more. We're all here now. It's all over. The last prayer meeting's over now. No more fasting, no more praying. We're all home. Now enter into the joys of the Lord. The prophet says, that's what I want to hear. That's what I'm working hard day and night all the time, doing all that I can do. That's what a believer wants on that day. We're not laboring unto eternal life. We're laboring from eternal life. We're not laboring to find acceptance with Christ, but we're laboring because we already found accepted in the Beloved. But you wanted to do something to express to him, to do something for him. But now when you get to the marriage supper of the Lamb, There's one thing you find in the Bible that first has to take place. Because friends, when the sons and daughters of God, when the family of God gather, imagine at the great wedding supper, when we gather at the table which is 10,000s of miles long, there's one thing that you don't want to be there. You don't want the devil to be there. We know whenever the sons and daughters of God gather now, the devil's ever present. He's never far away. He's always there to try to spoil the festivities. He's always there to try to spoil, you know, the gathering of the family. Because that's his job and that's his duty. Let's have a look, Revelation 12. So we'll see before the wedding supper of the Lamb can take place, there's some scripture that needs to be fulfilled. Something needs to take place. Revelation chapter 12. This is unfinished business. That the Lamb still has some unfinished business before this the consummation of the marriage. Before the family has gathered home to dwell in perfect peace. Revelation 12 verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Now before we get there, the Lord's going to make sure the devil's not there. Because I mean, what kind of a gathering would it be for the sons and daughters of God if the devil was still there? The Lord's not going to allow anything to spoil that occasion, friend. And our enemy, our arch enemy, he's going to be bound. He's going to be cast out. He's not going to be in that gathering of the saints when the saints go marching in. It says verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan. Now do you know what the word devil means? It comes from the word diabolos, prone to slander. Slanderous, accusing falsely. He who brings division when there's no reason. Amen. Friends, that is the work of the devil. But in order for there to be a wedding feast, and we'll see when we come back for the millennium, the honeymoon, the devil's going to be bound 1,000 years. Amen. Because the Lord's going to make sure there's going to be nothing of the devil there to spoil this climax of the ages, to spoil this great coronation time when the family gather. At the capstone of redemption, the Lord's going to make sure the devil ain't there no more. Because he's the one who spoils it all the time, friends. That's his job. He's called the devil and Satan. Satan comes from the word Satanus, the adversary, the opposer. So he's always against us. He's always opposing us. And we're dwelling in mortal bodies now. Satan has plenty of target to aim at this time. Plenty of target. We've got a human spirit that can be deceived. Our emotions, we can feel good today and don't feel good tomorrow. There's plenty of room and opportunity for the devil to work in the lives of the saints at this time. But before we get there, Jesus is going to take care of that business. And it says, call the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. So it's rapture time. And his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Friends, what a day that'll be when there's no one to accuse you and I anymore. What a day. What a day when you're not dwelling in a mortal body anymore, when you're in a glorified body. When you're not subject to the fall, you're not subject to the curse anymore. And there's no accuser to stand there accusing you anymore. It says in verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. The sister was singing about it. In death there's victory. Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. So what a rejoicing time there's going to be in the heavens at that time. But at the same time, but woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time. Amen. Now the prophet explains it in the first seal, and he says, in Revelation 12, Satan, the spirit, the devil, which is up there now, accused of our brethren, the church is taken up, and Satan is cast out. And he says, when the church goes up, Satan comes down. And Satan incarnates himself in the beast. Notice, because when the church goes up, It's done then. All of his accusing is done, see? As long as the intercessor is still on the throne, Christ, Satan can stand there and accuse because he's the attorney on the other side. He's the opponent of Christ. The opponent is standing there saying, but wait, Adam fell. Adam did this. I conquered him. I got his wife to believe a lie. You said she'd be damned by it. But here's the mediator standing there. The kinsman redeemer, standing with blood that can take the vilest sinner's heart and change it. A mediator is on the throne. Yes, sir. Amen. So there's coming a time, friends, when the work is finished, when redemption's work, the last one has come in, that he gets up off the throne. Amen. And the lamb now is going to become the lion. And he casts the devil out. And he takes now the book in reality. He's taken it to reveal it thus far. But the prophet says, we are the book. You know, the book isn't just a theoretical something, but he comes to take what is redeemed. Amen. And when he rises from the throne and the devil's accusing day and night, accusing you, accusing me, the Lamb rises from the throne and says, it's enough. Amen. And it's a vindicating time. Now, if many, many times, friends, we get falsely accused and we go through all manners of things and people misunderstand you and misunderstand me and say all manner of evil. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Amen. There comes a vindicating time. And when the Lamb gets off the throne, when he comes to claim that which is his, he's going to cast the devil out. And he's going to come and show the prophet says, who's who? That's the time of vindication. The rapture, friends, is the seal of it all. We can all claim this, that, and the other. But that is the time when we'll see who really has the seal of approval. We'll see who really is the sons and daughters of God and who isn't. Because Christ is going to step in and show who's who at that time. And even when you go through things in this life, leave it in his hands, Paul said. Let him be the one who does the vindicating. Don't try to take it in your own hands and vindicate yourself. No matter what the accuser wants to do, no matter how much he wants to accuse, let Christ be the one to sort the battles. Let him be the one like he's going to do just any day now. Let him be the one when he stands up in defense of his bride to come to claim his bride, he will cast the enemy out. And that's the power of the blood. Now, if you really think about this principle, this is why it's so difficult, especially as the days go by. The prophet says, for people to pray, for people to break through. He says in Future Home, because Satan is still here. That's the reason all of these things happen. He's speaking about sin and misfortune and accidents and wars and bloodshed and all these things. It's because Satan is still here and all of his evil forces are still here. That's why there's bloodshed, there's war, politics, sin, adultery, all kinds of filthiness goes on. It's because Satan is the ruler of the earth and the atmosphere. So friends, we're worshiping in an atmosphere. And in that atmosphere, Satan is the ruler of that atmosphere. Amen. And we've got to break through a certain spiritual atmosphere before we can bring ourselves to certain places, before the throne, before. And we know it. You know what it's like when you want to pray. And there's certain times that you've got to break through that oppression. And many times you want to read the word and this all manner of thoughts go through your mind. Many times you want to be at peace with people and there's so much that rises up at those kind of times. Friends, it's the work of Satan. It's the work of the devil. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the one who governs that kind of an atmosphere. The prophet says, both the heavens and the earth now is contaminated with devils that can accuse us before God. But Jesus is there to intercede for us. Ah, friends. That's why you find that you don't have so much times of peace. You get yourself back out there in the world again, doing your business. Then you find the accusers never far away. The opposer, the adversary. He doesn't want to leave you in peace. That's his job. That's his business to be doing that kind of thing. That's why many times, like we say, you've got to wrestle in prayer. Remember Daniel when he was trying to seek the Lord? And there was such contamination in heavenly places around him that although his prayer was heard from the very moment that he first prayed, when he lifted his heart to seek his God, set himself. But it took 21 days for the answer to get to him. And the prophet says, Gabriel came and he said that. He says, the prince of Persia, he withstood me. 21 days. Friends, we've got to expect When the sons of God are seeking to please the king, to walk with the king, we've got to expect it's going to be some warfare. Amen. It's not going to be easy. This isn't the time of rest. The millennium is the time of rest. Amen. This is the time of warfare now. And friends, there's the song that Michael Card sings, that on that battlefield, there's no rusty swords. On this battlefield, you need to keep using your sword. There's no rusty swords here. There's no days of rest and recreation here like you can take off from the army. This battle's going to be thick and fierce and hard right to the end. Because we're fighting against our adversary. We're fighting against the accuser of the brethren. Now you find the prophet says, he says, look at Job. He says he was a perfect man before God. He was a righteous man, justified in the eyes of God. But Job lived such a life that the devil didn't know what to do with him. The prophet says a man can live such a life that the devil doesn't know what to do with him. Satan got to the place that he didn't know what to do with Job. When the Lord said, did you consider my servant Job? He says, I can't do anything with that man. What made the difference? Job kept an atmosphere around him. You know, you can create an atmosphere that the devil cannot work in. You know that. You can create an atmosphere that Satan cannot stand, that kind of an atmosphere. Because Satan requires an atmosphere. That's why sin is heaping up when we see the things taking place in this age. It's because of the atmosphere. Because Satan is in charge of this atmosphere. The heavens are charged with these devils. There's an atmosphere out there. But Job, he lived such a life. And even when his children would go away to their days of feasting, he would say, peradventure, they've sinned against the Lord. And he'd bring them to the altar and he'd offer the sacrifice of blood and he'd bring them back under the right atmosphere once again. And the devil said it to the Lord. He says, but that's not fair. You've put a hedge of protection all around the man. There's nothing that I can do. And the only time that the devil could get a hold of that man is when the Lord permitted him access to Job. And the prophet says, you can live such a life. You can live such a life that the devil won't know what to do with you. Wouldn't you like to live that kind of a life? That the things you say, they produce an atmosphere. What you fellowship around produces an atmosphere. It's so easy to be negative, friends. Satan loves that kind of an atmosphere. He loves that. When you start speaking negative and you start complaining and you're not happy about this, that, and the other, that's part of your mortality. But don't let Satan energize that mortality. Don't let him energize that fallen part of your nature. You rather let the Lord come and energize that part of you which is redeemed. And you let the soul kick in at a time like that. And you wait upon the Lord and you create another kind of an atmosphere. But the prophet says that's the kind of atmosphere. He says it's only the atmosphere around the earth and the sin that is upon the earth. That's what's causing it to be like this. It's not easy for the sons and daughters of God. And that's why you find tension comes between people. You find misunderstandings. You find wars among the nations. All of these things is what? It's the devil working in that realm that he works. He's energizing. He's using his influence to energize fallen man, the conditions of the fall. And he gets nations to rise up against nations. He gets people to rise up against people. And if you're not careful, he gets the sons and daughters of God to rise up against the sons and daughters of God. But it just depends upon the atmosphere that we keep. Because we can create an atmosphere that he can't work in. The prophet says, all this that's in existence now in the earth, man-made systems, politics, sin, all kinds of evil spirits that the world is contaminated and the heavens are contaminated with, it'll have to be done away with. Before Christ will come back to set up his kingdom on earth, it's all got to be done away with. There's got to come a change of atmosphere. There's got to come a change of administration in the heavenly realm. There's got to come a difference before Christ will come back to this earth with his bride for a honeymoon. You have a look in the Bible and you find it just time after time after time. Even among the sons and daughters of God. Remember it says when the sons and daughters of God gathered in the book of Job, it says Satan was among them. And you find that is his business to be there. You know, you find, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9. This is how we're walking at the moment. This is the relationship that we have with one another at the moment. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 9. Paul says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Amen. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Amen. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. There's got to come a change, friends. Even in our dealings with one another in this life, we look at each other darkly as through a glass. Now, many, many times, because of the veil, we can't have unveiled liberty in our fellowship. Now, we look at each other through a veil. And Satan's got a lot of ammunition to work with, because he's got our fallen nature. He's got this veil of flesh that we're looking at each other through. And then he's got our own faults and our failings as well. So Satan can work on both ends. And it's so easy for him, being the accuser of the brethren, to bring this kind of a misunderstanding amongst the best of saints. You know, because we don't know what's beyond the veil. You don't know my motive and my objective. I may have a perfect, pure heart, a perfect motive and objective, but because of my mortality, I may not be able to fulfill the greatness of the desire that I have. And you may look, and the accuser of the brethren comes to you, and he starts to whisper, and he starts to slander. And he starts to accuse somebody else and say, he did that because of this, or she did that because of that. You see, it's the devil gets him to take advantage of the situation. And because we veiled from each other, we don't see each other the way that the Lord sees us. It's very easy for the Lord to, for the devil to take an advantage in those situations. But when we get there on that day, when the devil is bound, he's cast out, when we're in glorified bodies, it's going to be unveiled fellowship with one another. Then we'll know as we are known. We won't be veiled from Christ. The prophet says, now this veil holds us back from praying and worshiping the way that we would desire. There's still that shadow of something that brings fear and brings uncertainty, even in our walk with Christ. That's the warfare that we have to go through. But then we shall know even as we are known. Then we should, because he knows your heart now. He has thoughts towards you. He knows who you really are. He knows who I really am. He sees my motive. He sees my purpose. He sees the condition of my heart. But many times you don't. And many times I don't see what's beyond your veil. And Satan wants to get in to take advantage of those kind of situations. And there comes tension and there comes misunderstandings. And he comes to whisper and he comes to slander. And it's not the kind of fellowship that you'd really desire to have. And friends, that's the warfare that we have to go through in this life. That's the realm that we're living in. But when you get there, and the prophet says you sit down and you will see each other in that glorified condition. When the family is gathered home, we'll know each other the way that we really are. There'll be nothing there to break our fellowship one with another. There'll be nothing there that can come between. There'll be no dark shadow that overshadows us there and wants to say this, that, and the other. Remember, we always speak of Brother Blair, and you know, when he was in the meeting, and that the devil, the darkness came to him. And then the prophet called in the prayer line and says, Brother Blair, that's the devil speaking to you, trying to tell you to renounce me as a false prophet. Renounce him. You see what the devil was trying to do? The devil was trying to come and bring an influence, because he's a slanderer. He's the opposer. That's the very work that he does. And he does it well, friends. And what is the thing that makes the difference? It's an atmosphere. You can keep an atmosphere in your own life that all the world slanders you. It doesn't affect you inside of your soul. That you are not governed. Like we said last night, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was never moved. It wasn't easy. He felt it in his mortality as a man. It wasn't easy when Judas betrayed him with a kiss. You know, and when his disciples forsook him in the hour of his greatest need, it wasn't easy. But he never allowed that to govern his life. He never allowed that to take him off course from the will of God. He never took things in his own hands and said, I'm going to resolve these things myself. It says, as a sheep that is dumb before the shearers, so he opened not his mouth. But friends, for us in this veil, it's not an easy thing to do. And you find it right throughout the Bible. You'll find it with Paul and Barnabas. You find it with different people in the Bible, that there can come misunderstandings. There can come tensions, there can come frustrations, there can come all manner of things between the sons and daughters of God. And that's why, friends, you really do appreciate that fellowship you can have with the sons and daughters of God when people unveil themselves. You know, those real relationships that you have in this life that last, or was when we really unveil who we are to one another. When you start to sense inside of yourself that God has ordained me to walk with this brother. God has ordained me in this life to walk with this sister. Now you start to unveil what's within the veil. And then we don't just see as other people do, but we can discern the body of the Lord.
Amen.
Now the Bible says and commissions us now that we need to discern the body of the Lord. We need to have a discernment now. Because of this realm that we're living in, this phase of life that you're going through. But when you get there, you're not going to need any discernment. It's going to be so clear who the body of the Lord is. But now you need a discernment to be able to discern. This is my brother. This is my sister. It takes a spiritual discernment in this age. Look what Paul said if you go to Philippians chapter 4. I really like the way he speaks. Paul had a real discernment. He had been up in that realm. He had been caught up into the third heaven. He came back. He could really discern things the way that they were. Philippians 4 verse 2. He says, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life.
Amen.
Hey, it's amazing that, friends.
Amen.
He knew. He could tell. He had a discernment. He could tell. These my fellow laborers. They're in the book of life together with me. And God has ordained our names to be written and associated with other people's names in the book of life.
Amen.
Because when the Lord thought about you before the foundation of the world, He thought about your wife as well. He thought about your husband as well. So I'm sure when the records were made before the foundation of the world, when He wrote your name, He wrote the name of your wife there. But I'm sure that He wrote our names together as well.
Amen.
Those that would associate together in this life, those that would be fellow laborers, those that would be soldiers in this army, I'm sure that He wrote our names together.
Amen.
In the same portion of the book.
Right.
That our names wouldn't be far from each other there. And it's to prove it when the roll call is made up there. I'm sure our names will be called together.
Amen.
Remember the prophet says that. He says he was gathered with his people.
Right.
We'll be gathered with the message of the hour under our message. God wrote our names together. When He put the prophet's name there in the book, He put all those in the book that would be associated with Him. And we saw it last night when the prophet went up for the rewards. And there was Sister Meda and there was Sister Hope. One on each arm, and he says, because they are associated with me in life. They brought forth children and so forth. I think, friends, sometimes if we had allowed discernment to kick in more, and we wouldn't judge looking in a glass darkly, looking at the outer veil, I'm sure that things could run a lot smoother in our lives. If we had discerned and realized that God has put us in each other's lives for a purpose. Look at Paul calls him there in verse 3. He says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. He says, we're two fellows, but you've got the same yoke.
Amen.
We're bearing the same yoke. You know, we're trying to pull. We're trying to achieve the same thing. We're trying to plow the same field. We're trying to sow seed in the same location to bring forth a harvest. And he said to him, you're my yoke fellow. We've been bound together under the same instrumentality, the same yoke in this age. And Paul, he had a discernment of that. And he could see by the lives of these sisters and by the life of Clement and the other ones that he was with, he could see these ones also written in the book of life. He could see an expression. He could discern within the veil. But you can't tell me that there wasn't accusation going on. Different things taking place. Because in verse 2 we read, he says, I beseech, tell these two brothers that they should be of the same mind in the Lord.
Right.
He could see they didn't have the same mind. He could see, oh, the enemy's here at work. The people need to be of the same mind. That's why the prophet says, some glorious day, when we cross the border, we'll sit down at your table. We'll look across at each other, tears rolling down our cheeks from the great fights. And we'll see many of the old veterans that we fought together with in the battle. God has ordained us to fight together, friends. You know, sometimes I'm going to need you, sometimes you're going to need me. Sometimes the Bible says two is better than one. Because in one fall, the other can pick him up. When one is cold, the other one can give him warmth. But woe unto him that falleth when he's on his own. You know, we don't realize it, but it takes a spiritual discernment to realize that. But Satan so much wants to operate in his realm as the adversary, as the accuser of the brethren. He so much wants to speak his things, friends. And we've got to be careful that we keep ourselves in a spiritual discernment, that we discern the body of the Lord, that we recognize who our true friends are in this life, that you recognize and discern our true yoke fellows that God has ordained us to be together with. And by doing that, friends, it helps you to overlook a lot of little unnecessary things. It helps you to see the end. The prophet says, not just looking at what you're going through now, but it helps you see the end. That this kind of a relationship, friends, it's a God-ordained relationship. And Paul saw that. He saw my relationship with Clement, my relationship with these sisters. They were in the book of life. He realized this is God-ordained. God put us together. So the prophet says, we'll see many that's fought along in the battle. And we'll shake hands with each other and cry a little. And the king will come and wipe all the tears from our eyes and say, don't cry anymore. The battle's over and you're home. This isn't our home. The battle's over. He's going to take us home at the end of this battle. But while the battle's still on, we need to realize our fellow laborers, friends. We need to have a discernment of spirit. Now, Satan being the adversary and being the accuser, it's very easy for us to play into his hand. It's very easy. When Satan is accusing, when he was accusing Job of secret sin, what did the three comforters come and do? They came and joined in the same thing. Instead of discerning that we should be together with Job in this battle, they put themselves in another atmosphere. And they allowed themselves to be used of the accuser of the brethren, of the adversary. But that's not a Christ-like thing, because the prophet says up in heaven, if we could go now beyond the curtain of time and see in that realm, he says, there's a great something going on. He said, it's like in a courtroom. He says, there's the opponent. There's the prosecutor who's against us, which is the devil, the accuser of the brethren. He says, but there's the Lamb, the advocate, and he's the one who's making intercession for us. So when Satan's saying all manner of evil against us, but did you see him last week? Did you see the way he fell short? Did you see her last week? Why did she say that? Why did she do that? Why didn't they do that? Friends, we have an advocate. There's a voice that speaks on our behalf there, and that's the voice of Christ. And he's saying, Father, it's already on my account. The blood has already been shed. And once your sin is under the blood, no matter what the devil says about it, the Lord says, I remember those sins no more. But Satan keeps on those things, friends. And we've got to discern our adversary. We've got to realize he's the accuser of our brethren. Many times the one that he's trying to accuse to us is our brother, it's our sister. And we need to discern that. And we need to recognize this is the enemy. But it's easy to play into his hands and create an even deeper atmosphere like that. That's why Paul in the epistles would always speak about tale-bearing and gossip and things like that. That is something which is totally energized by the devil. Now, when you give ourselves over to gossip, what is gossip? Gossip is speaking of things that you shouldn't be speaking of them. Somebody once gave a very good definition that says, gossip is anything that you tell to somebody about somebody which is not part of the solution to that. Now, if I come and tell you about something, did you know brother so-and-so did this? Or do you know sister so-and-so did this? If what I'm saying, my motive isn't to bring a solution. If my speaking to you about that brother or that sister is not part of the solution to that problem, that's gossip. That's what the devil does. The devil gets himself involved in other people's affairs all the time. Things that have got nothing to do with him. And he wants to bring a division between people. So he brings all these kind of things. But friends, as a genuine believer, no genuine believer wants to be energized by the enemy. Nobody wants to play into the hands of the accuser of the brethren. I don't want to take sides with the devil. I heard somebody preaching once and he was saying, when that woman came to wash Jesus' feet, and, you know, there was the Lord and he knew what was in her heart. And, you know, he had thoughts of redemption towards her. And there was Judas. And he was saying, what a waste. And then all the other brethren were saying with Judas, yes, this should have been sold and given to the poor. And that brother was preaching, said it. He says, the disciples were saying amen to the devil. Friends, you don't want to be saying amen to the devil very often in this life. No, we have enough against us already. We don't need to be taking sides with him. We don't need to be allowing him to energize us in his accusation, in his being an opposer and his adversary of the brethren. I'd rather stand with a brother even when he's wrong. Have a discernment of spirit, you know, maybe this brother's wrong now, but his name is in the book of life. He's my fellow laborer. I'd rather stand with the sister when she's down and when she's fallen than to stand against that person. The prophet says when somebody's in a ditch, when a brother's in a ditch, he says the Christian way isn't to push him down further when he's in the ditch. It's to offer him a hand and to try to take him up. No matter if he's wrong, no matter if she's wrong. But it's having a discernment of spirit to know. We don't want the enemy to take more of an advantage here. Because Satan needs an atmosphere. And friends, the atmosphere of gossip and of slander and of tail-bearing and backbiting like Paul speaks about, he loves that kind of an atmosphere. Now the prophet says, he says there's a certain atmosphere that can come into a meeting until Satan is paralyzed. He says you can create an atmosphere until Satan is completely paralyzed. Satan cannot do anything. That's like the millennium. That's what it's going to be in the millennium. Satan's going to be bound. He's going to have absolutely no way to work. And there's going to be an atmosphere upon the earth which is going to be so glorious that Satan cannot work in that atmosphere. And friends, I believe that we as believers in our own lives can create our own millennium here. We can create a condition in our own lives, our own attitudes, that Satan cannot work in that. He'll try to buffer from the outside. He'll try to influence you from without. But you can keep an atmosphere in your heart. You can keep an atmosphere in your home that gives the devil very little opportunity to work. He's paralyzed when he comes there, like it was in the days of Job. At first, Satan was baffled what to do with Job. He didn't know what to do with this man. When the Lord said, he's a perfect man, have you considered him? He says, it just makes me angry to think of this man. I can't get near this man. What caused that? The blood. His worship. The way that he conducted himself. There was such an atmosphere, a hedge of protection around Job, that the accuser of the brethren had to work from a distance. Couldn't get very close. And the only time he could get close was with the permission of the Lord. Friends, that would be a wonderful kind of a life to live. And when we get there beyond, friends, when Christ rises up and says, enough is enough. I'm tired of hearing accusation and slander against my bride. He's going to take the devil. He's going to cast him out. And then he's going to take those same people that you're being accused and slandered, and he's going to take them to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he's going to crown them, and there's going to be the great judgment of rewards. And the body, the family is going to be gathered at home. But friends, I think that is one of the greatest battles that each of us are going to have to go through. Remember John in prison. John had got a bit low in his spiritual condition. And he started to doubt the very things that before were so real to him. The prophet says the devil got to him in the prison there when his eagle eye got formed over. Then he started to think about Christ in a way that he never thought about him before. Saying, are you the one to come or should we look for another? Before he was so sure. He says his fan is in his hand. Behold the Lamb of God. This is the one that comes after me who's greater than me. I'm not even worthy to unloose the latch of his sandals. It was so real to him at one time. And then when he got in a certain spiritual condition, the devil got to him. And the devil started to accuse. And the devil started to slander. And say, this isn't really he. This isn't really the one that was to come. And John started to listen to that. And it started to affect him now in his walk with Christ. Until he sent to the Lord and said, are you the one to come? Or should we look to another? He didn't just die in silence. He unveiled what was inside of himself. He opened himself up and he made known to the Lord Jesus Christ what he was going through. And then Jesus unveiled to him the mystery of what he needed to know in this day. Go and tell John the things that you see. The blind see and all those kind of things. The poor have the gospel preached. And then John was satisfied at that kind of a time. It's like we were speaking with Brother Max last night. And the greatest thing that believers can do is discern and know your real brothers and sisters. And to unveil yourself. You know, if I offend you in some way, if I let you down, it's so healthy for me to come down and say, Brother Scott, yeah, I'm really, really sorry, bro. I promised to do this, this, and this for you, but hey, I wasn't able to do it. Forgive me, bro. Just to come and unveil. Because the devil's going to take advantage of those kind of things. The moment I don't unveil, the moment I don't speak what's inside of my heart, the devil's got a fertile breeding ground. Because the other person's going to be sitting, the devil's going to speak into them. He didn't do it because he doesn't love you. Look what he does to other people, but he didn't do it to you. And oh, do people really care about you? That's the devil that comes to speak to you. But the moment you get two people have a discernment of spirit and they sit down together, and they say, this is a great battle and we yoke fellows in this battle. We fellow soldiers in this battle. Let's cast the devil out of this atmosphere now. Friends, you're going to have a millennium in your relationship. You're going to find the desert's going to start blossoming like a rose. You're going to find the sun of prosperity is going to come right into that relationship again. And that relationship's going to become a fruitful field once again. What made the difference? You cast the devil out of the way. It's the devil who always comes in the way. He's the opposer. He's the accuser. That's why I said that the word devil means he who brings division where there's no reason. He takes advantage because now we see darkly as through a glass. We're veiled by our mortality, our human flesh, our human mind, our human understanding. We can look at things and we can misunderstand them. I don't see the motive of Brother Shepherd's heart. You know, maybe he's got a perfect motive before God. He does something, the devil will come to me. I totally misunderstand what he's done. And it offends me. Yet in the eyes of God, when you get up into heaven, what is the advocate saying? What is Christ saying? Christ is so pleased with him because Christ looks on the heart. Christ says, this is my beloved son. But what's the devil saying to me? He's saying, is this really a son of God? How can he do that if he's a son of God? Can you not see how this warfare continues being waged every single day? It's the greatest battle ever fought. The prophet says, because the atmosphere is congested with demons and evil forces. That's what we're surrounded by. And that's why it buffets us and this war comes against us. And the greatest thing that we can do is create an atmosphere that the devil is paralyzed in that atmosphere. And to create that atmosphere, it needs us to unveil those things. That if I've got a bad feeling against Brother Shep, I don't understand what he's done, I go and I sit down with my brother. And I say, hey, Brother Shep, I'm really sorry, brother. I really misunderstood what you did there. And then when he tells me what was really in his heart, the devil is exposed now for what he is. He's a liar. He's the accuser of the brethren. We cast him out of our relationship and see how the blessing of God comes down once again. But friends, we can't play into his hands. We can't allow ourselves to be used by him. We've got to recognize the enemy and know his tactics. And no matter what it's going to take, cast him out. Because Jesus knows before the family can gather at that table in a perfect oneness, in a perfect blessedness of peace, the devil's got to be cast out of heaven first. And then he can gather the family together. And then what a blessing that it's going to be. And friends, the family is gathered here again once again today. This is a type. We've gathered around the table once again. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. And he invites his chosen people to come and dine. And friends, we can create an atmosphere here. If you just have the right atmosphere, the right attitude towards the word, discernment of spirit one to another, and a determination to say, no, I'm not going to allow the enemy to prevail. I'm not going to allow him to have his way. I see his fingerprints here. I see his characteristics here. I hear his voice speaking to me here. And like the Lord Jesus Christ, get thee behind me, Satan. You don't play into his hands, but you play into the hands of the great advocate, the great intercessor. And you allow that atmosphere to be created that God blesses in that atmosphere every single time. But friends, it's going to be a warfare until Christ rises from the throne and takes him and casts him down into the earth. Then at the end of the tribulation period, what happens? Revelation 20 verse 1, before we get into the millennium, he's going to have to be bound once again. You know, before this world can be what it's supposed to be, the blessing that it's supposed to be, says Revelation 20, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Verse 2, and he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into a bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So at the beginning of the millennium, when Christ, Armageddon sets in, Christ comes back with his bride, he takes that devil and he binds him and casts him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And then Christ comes and there's an atmosphere on earth like hasn't been there since Eden. The atmosphere has changed because the devil's been bound. The devil doesn't have any opportunity at that kind of a time. He's been exposed for what he is. The word has bound him. The word has cast him out. And then things can start coming back to really what they're supposed to be. The prophet says it when he speaks about Satan being bound and the sixfold purpose of Daniel, of Gabriel. He says, this is to bring in everlasting righteousness. It's number 4 of the sixfold purpose. He says, bring in everlasting righteousness. Satan in the bottomless pit. And when he does that, he seals up the devil, which has deceived the people. He says, let's turn to Habakkuk, the 2nd chapter. We're going to see why he sealed up this old serpent, what it was done for, and what takes place immediately after he sealed up. Habakkuk 2, if you can put it for us, bro, if you can search for Habakkuk 2. It's a real blessed scripture. But this is what happens immediately when you bind the devil. Habakkuk 2, verse 14. The prophet says, this happens immediately. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So the moment the devil is bound, the knowledge of the Lord, the glory of the Lord floods throughout the earth. And that's what's going to make all the difference. That's what brings forth the millennium. It's because Satan is bound, and then God's glory can flood the earth as the waters cover the sea. The prophet says, oh my. In other words, when the enemy has been put away, the end of sin has come, the bringing in of everlasting righteousness has come, Satan is sealed in the bottomless pit. And the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. He says, glory to God. It's coming, brother. It's coming. Women will be ladies. And men will be gentlemen. Amen. Hey. That's when people will be what they're supposed to be. Amen. Friends, it's when the devil's bound. There's no more. When the devil's not there anymore, then the Lord can say, let me flood my glory into this place. What about here? What about if we bound the devil by the word? What if we wouldn't allow in our behavior, in our attitude, the devil to take advantage? But we'd use the principles of the word. And we would bind the devil now. We could have an atmosphere here that what's going to happen? The knowledge of the glory of the Lord will fill this place. Amen. As the waters cover the sea. And then what does it do? When there's a change of atmosphere, everything else changes once there's a change of atmosphere. Amen. It becomes something very different. Isaiah 35 verse 1. This is what happens immediately, the prophet says. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord. Amen. And the excellency of our God. The deserts will start to blossom. He says it in Daniel. He says, Joseph was a type of the son of prosperity. Everything Joseph did prospered. And when Jesus returns in the millennium, that's the reason the desert will blossom as a rose. Amen. You bring the son of prosperity back. You change the government of the earth. You change the atmosphere that was there. There's no more the accuser. There's no more the accuser of the brethren, the opposer, the adversary. He's bound. You bind him. Then the son of prosperity steps right into that situation. And then the earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And then what happens? Then you start taking this earth, which is under the effects of the curse, where men have to labor and toil and take out the thorns and the thistles and the weeds and, you know, and bring forth in futility. See what it's going to be in the millennium. See how the earth is going to bring forth in its abundance. There's scriptures that speak about it. The prosperity of the millennium. And what made the difference is the atmosphere. There'll be an atmosphere on earth that the son of prosperity can come down and he can rule and reign. And his subjects are going to be there, and there's no more the accuser of the brethren. There's just those that don't even need a discernment of the body of the Lord anymore. because we'll know as we are known. I'll know you the way that you really are, and you'll know me the way that I really am. Because friends, we can misunderstand each other in this life. We can so misunderstand. Sometimes I'll be in the situation where there'll be people come. Someone will come and say something about somebody. And you go and find out what the real story is about this. And you'll just see that this person misunderstood that person 100%. Sometimes it's absolutely 100%. One person had a perfect desire. And the other one perfectly misunderstood that desire. It happens in this life. Because now we see as through a glass darkly. But then we shall see face to face. When this is done away with. When this atmosphere is done away with. When the adversary is bound and he doesn't torment us anymore. A demon means a tormentor. When he's not there, always trying to whisper to you. But friends, you think about your own experience. The prophet says many times, if you listen to at the end of the meetings, when the real glory of the Lord would come down and people would be in worship, what would he say? He would say, doesn't it feel wonderful now? All condemnation gone from your heart. Don't you love those kind of times? When you break through in prayer and you get yourself in the presence of the Lord and all condemnation's gone. Why? Because the accuser cannot stand that kind of an atmosphere. Because now you've brought yourself into position. You're not listening to the accuser anymore. You're listening to the advocate. You're sharing what he really thinks about you. That's what makes all the difference. Because the devil's going to be telling you a lot of things, what he wants you to think the Lord thinks about you. He's going to be saying, the Lord doesn't really love you. The Lord doesn't have good thoughts and purposes for you. Look what the Lord's doing for other people. What's he doing for you? That's his job. He's the adversary. And friends, if you keep yourself in that atmosphere too long, you're going to find yourself in trouble. What you've got to do, you've got to resolve inside of yourself enough. You've got to rise up like the lamb rose up and says, enough. And you've got to apply the principles of the word. You've got to submit yourself unto God and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And you resist the devil and you overcome him by the blood of the lamb and by the word of your testimony. And you punch a hole through that atmosphere of devils and you bring yourself into the atmosphere of the glory of God once again. And friends, you get yourself there and then he starts speaking to you. Friends, that makes life different when Jesus starts to speak to you. Because he'll tell you what he really thinks about you. Friends, we don't need any second-hand information from the devil. I don't need someone to tell me what Jesus thinks about me. I'd rather go to him and ask him for myself. I'd rather get it firsthand. And he's going to reveal it through his word. He's going to reveal it through his spirit. And friends, how wonderful it is when you get in that kind of an atmosphere. Like last night when Brother George was saying, you don't want to go home. You just want to stay in that place because the devil's been paralyzed. He doesn't have a fruitful atmosphere to work in anymore. But sometimes we're so quick to want to leave that atmosphere and get back out there where it's congested with devils that are accusing us, that are opposing us. Friends, when the Lord is near, take advantage. When his presence is there, and there's an atmosphere and that condemnation is gone and you're starting to see yourself the way that he sees you. Stay in that kind of an atmosphere. That's a fruitful kind of an atmosphere. That's when you'll find you are barren in your experience, but that kind of an atmosphere makes you bring forth as a rose. You'll start becoming fruitful once again. But friends, it's a spiritual warfare. And we've got to recognize the tactics of the devil day by day. Like I always say, I don't think the Lord minds very much when we make our mistakes. But when we allow the devil to keep knocking us down exactly the same every single time, I think surely the Lord gets to a time when he says, but when are you going to learn? When are you going to learn? He knocked you down there, then he knocked you down there. Surely there's got to come a time that you discern the work of the enemy, that you study the enemy, that you're not ignorant of his devices anymore, that you resist him and you oppose him when he's trying to resist and oppose you because he wants to create that kind of an atmosphere. But in the millennium, this world is going to be so different, friends. Amen. It's going to be so beautiful. It's going to go back to Eden once again. It's going to be no more curse upon this earth. Because he that influenced to bring the curse isn't going to be there anymore. But the sun of prosperity is going to come down. And he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. The prophet says it in Future Home. Speaking about that kind of a realm. He says the skies will never be black again. No, that's from the curse. It says, never be black again with angry clouds. The winds will never blow across her again like that. Never tear up the trees and tear up the houses and turn over things. And lightning and wrath will never belt from Satan, kill a man walking down the road, or burn up a building. No, no more. There'll be no more typhoons sweeping down, or storms and tornadoes tearing up houses and killing little children and things. Won't be no more. Trying to destroy, it won't be there, because Satan has been cast out. These storms and these dark clouds that come in the lives of believers and these tempests of trouble and woe that come. Friends, you've got to discern that it's the devil that brings these things. It's the devil. You've got to discern that it's the devil that's energizing these events, that's trying to take advantage of these kind of circumstances. Because when the devil is bound, you're not going to have those things anymore. The prophet says, heavens and earth have met. God and man is reconciled. A restored Eden has begun because the curse is gone. And the prophet says it's already started in the believer now. He says the potential is already in you because God and man has already been reconciled. Heaven and earth has already kissed when he came and tabernacled inside of your soul. Inside of yourself, you have a millennium already. Inside of yourself, you have a new heavens and a new earth atmosphere already. There's no need to wait for the millennium. You can take advantage of it now. It's an atmosphere. It's the sun of prosperity in the life of a believer. Remember Billy Paul, when he went to Brother Bram that day, and it was the end of all the different interviews, and Brother Bram was very tired. And then Brother Bram came out of the trailer and said, Billy, are there any more people? And he said, yes, Daddy, there's just one. And Bram says, who is it? And he said, it's me, Daddy. And he said, what is it, Paul? He says, Daddy, it's me and Lewis, his wife. He says, we're having an awful amount of trouble. And then Brahms gave him such simple advice. He said, if you will allow that Holy Ghost that's in you to express itself, you won't have these kind of problems. Amen. You can have the potential, but you've got to allow it to express itself. Amen. You've got to allow it to create an atmosphere. You've got to allow it to do something, to bring forth its attributes. And that makes all the difference. Is when you allow that which is in you to express itself. And friends, sometimes you've got to really have a big, big dose of getting ourselves out the way to allow that which is in us to express itself. And you'll always know that it's Him expressing Himself because how God blesses that. When you get yourself out the way in whatever situation that is and you allow the Lord to express Himself from within and you're governed by the Word and you allow an atmosphere like that to govern you, see how the blessings of God come down. See how the sun of prosperity will bless you and make you fruitful in those endeavors that you're doing at that time. But friends, it's a warfare. We've got to put on that whole armor of God. And we've got to realize we've got to continue to prevail over these things right until the time that Christ says enough. And He casts the devil out and the trump sounds and He catches us up together with Him. And we changed from these creatures that we are. It's going to be like that every step of the way. Look what he says about the millennium as well. Isaiah 11 verse 6. When the atmosphere changes, when Satan is bound. Isaiah 11 verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. The young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the horn of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We saw it in Daniel with the lion's den. We saw it with the prophet with the killer bull. Amen. We saw it with the hornets with the prophet. Amen. There can be an atmosphere. Amen. An atmosphere that paralyzes the devil. Amen. That when the king wrote his foolish proclamation and Daniel through the accusations of men, the accuser of the brethren, it got together, and Daniel was thrown into the pit. Though he had done nothing wrong, thrown into the lion's den. And there were those fierce, hungry lions. What made the difference? An atmosphere. An atmosphere. There came an angel with an atmosphere down into that realm. And when the king came early the next morning because he couldn't sleep, and he says, "Oh, Daniel, thou servant of the Most High God, was your God able to save you?" You know, I like the one cartoon we have with the children. And you find Daniel's lying there, and the king says, "Oh, I think he's dead," but it wasn't. He was sleeping. You're sleeping against the lions. And that's what it was like. Those lions, what makes them aggressive? What makes them want to tear and rip and, you know, tear things apart? It's the devil energizing the fallen nature. It's the devil who makes those things like that. Because the moment the devil is bound, the animal's not going to do that anymore. The bear is going to lie down with what? The cow. They're natural enemies. The bear hunts the cow, tears it apart, sheds its blood, preys upon it now because of the atmosphere. Because Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Because there's this congestion of demons and evil forces that take advantage of fallen nature, a fallen creation, to bring forth these things. God never ordained in the beginning that a typhoon strikes through a nation and destroys tens of thousands of lives. God never ordained that. That wasn't there in the beginning. That's Satan taking advantage of the attributes of a fallen creation, using his power to come and energize those elements that are fallen to bring forth his own purpose. And friends, we still have a part here which Satan can energize. We still have a mind that is subject to the greatest battle. The prophet says we're still subject to deceived thinking. We still have a human spirit, our memories, our reasoning, our emotion that is subject to the influence of the devil. And that's why the prophet said it's the greatest battle ever fought. This is where it is. Amen. This is where you conquer him from. Amen. This is where you conquer him. Because he's got to overcome you here before you do any physical act. Before you speak against your brother, you speak against your sister. Satan first has to conquer you here. Has to conquer you in your reasoning and your understanding. He's still got a target to aim at the devil. But in that day, when we'll be in glorified bodies, when Christ the King, Joseph the Son of Prosperity, will be ruling and reigning in the earth, and this atmosphere pervades the whole earth, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, you're going to find those animals are going to be tame once again. The wolf will be gentle. The lion will be tame. The prophet says, notice there'll be no more graves. Amen. No more death. Amen. Who is the agent of death? It's the devil. Right. Once the devil's bound, there's no more death. Amen. He's the one who comes and gets into our fallen humanity. The prophet says he finds a backslidden cell. And he gets into the devil and he energizes it and he brings a cancer. He brings some kind of a disease into your body. It's the devil who brings these things. He says, no more graves. Amen. There'll be no teardrops. Amen. Who is the cause of sorrow? When you and I are grieved and burdened, if we really trace the origin back, who caused that? It was the devil. Amen. It was a devil using somebody. It was a devil getting into a situation to take advantage of the situation. He loves to do that. That's his job. But the prophet said, there'll be no teardrops. Amen. There. There'll be no more bloodshed. She'll never be moistened by a teardrop or a drop of blood because there'll be no more wars. Once the devil is bound, there's no more wars. Amen. There'll never be any war. When you find war, the devil's there. The devil's at work, friends. No matter where it is, whether it's in the house of God, whether it's in the world, warfare is caused by the devil. And that's why our spiritual warfare will have to keep waging this warfare until the devil has been bound. Because wherever the devil is, there's warfare. The prophet says there'll be no more wars. Look in Micah chapter 4. This is speaking of those days. Micah chapter 4 verse 1. The book of Micah. It's a real blessed scripture. It says, but in the last days, the Jews said that's the days of the Messiah. This is a millennium. It shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. And it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. This is the millennium. Verse 2, and many nations shall come. We'll get onto it sometime and explain who these nations are. And say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. And we'll walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations far off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Ah, oh, friends, what a time to live. What a place to be when nations will not rise up against nations, when men learn war no more. Why? There's no more devil there. He's bound, he's in the bottomless pit. And when the devil's not there, people don't learn war anymore. And then they'll take their swords and they'll beat them into pruning hooks. What does it say there? They shall take their swords and beat them into plowshares. They'll take those objects which the devil has energized them to use to destroy. And instead of being used to destroy now, they'll be used to plant and to grow. And those same things will be used in a beneficial way. He says, and their spears into pruning hooks. When you want you to prune your vineyard, they'll convert their spears into pruning hooks. But what happens at the end of the millennium when the devil is released? The final war of Gog and Magog. The people take the pruning hooks and turn them into spears once again. And Satan goes and deceives the nations, and they come against the camp of the saints. And there's war once again. Friends, Satan is the instrument of warfare. He's the instigator. He's the energizing principle. If you and I today are at war with one another, it's the devil that's got involved. And if you and I can cast out that devil, watch how the Prince of Peace will step in. If we can just change that atmosphere, if we can just discern and recognize, then saints, instead of using the sword as an instrument of warfare, we can turn it into something we can build and we can plant and things can prosper and things can grow. But there's got to come a change of atmosphere. We've got to recognize who the real enemy is and get him out of the picture and create an atmosphere that he can't work in. And then see how the desert starts to blossom as a rose once again. It says, neither shall they learn war anymore. Oh, friends, that's a blessed thing to think about. War goes back to Nimrod. Go back to the Bible and see who was the instigator of war, that instrument of Satan, Nimrod. And he went and he united the tribes together, and there was a forced worship and a forced coming together in that day. That's the devil. Where did war start? War started in heaven. That's where it started when Lucifer and his angels rose up against Michael and his angels. Satan is the one who starts wars, friends. But Jesus is the Prince of Peace. When he comes back to earth, when he takes his rightful throne as the Son of David, seated in Jerusalem, and the bride will be with him in the city, and Israel will possess all of the royal grant which was promised to Abraham in the millennium. There'll be no more war. The nations will learn war no more. There'll just be peace. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And what a prosperity there's going to be, saints. And then there's going to be no lashing down of the rain to cause floods and to break the banks and to destroy this, that, and the other. It's the devil behind those things. In the book of Job, who was in the whirlwind in the beginning of Job that came and smote the house, killed Job's children? It was the devil. The devil got into the whirlwind, the tempest or tornado, whatever it was, that smote that house. These are the attributes of the devil, friends. Attributes of destruction. Attributes of breaking down and destroying. Attributes of fear and intimidation. It's the devil. It's the devil. Atmospheres of fear. It's the devil who causes fear. The scripture says in the millennium they'll fear no more. There'll be no fear. We'll dwell in unwalled cities, the Bible says. And the nations will learn no more war. But why should we as believers wait for them? The millennium's in here, friends. Amen. The kingdom of God is in here. The Prince of Peace is already ruling and reigning in the hearts of his saints. So let this express itself. And let there be no more war.
Amen.
And let's take the swords and beat them and make pruning hooks out of them. And let's make plowshares and let's plant and let's build and let's cause it to be a fruitful field. And let there be no more war. But before there's no more war, we've got to cast the devil out. We've got to discern and recognize who is the energizing principle of this conflict. No matter how much we try to justify ourselves, friends, and we can stand in our own personal principles and say, but I'm right here. But our very attitude shows we're not right. The very reason that we're allowing it to continue longer than it should shows we're not right. That the devil's still there hiding somewhere, the adversary, the opposer, the accuser of the brethren. And Jesus knows, before my sons and my daughters dwell in perfect peace in the kingdom of peace, before I come back as the Prince of Peace with a government upon my shoulders, the devil's got to go. And it's like that in this house, friends. It's like that in your own personal house at home. It's like that in your relationships and our relationships one with another. The Prince of Peace can't rule and reign until we recognize the devil and we get rid of him. And that takes an atmosphere. And like I say, sometimes that takes a sitting down together. Like the prophet says, when you get into the new heavens and the new earth, he says there will be the tree of life bearing 12 manners of fruits. And he says, and then the leaves of the trees will be for the healing of the nations. And he says, and those nations that used to be at war with one another, when the kings of the nations come into that great atmosphere in the city where the Lamb is the light, they'll break off an olive branch from the tree of, and they'll give it to their neighbor and say, brother, we used to be at war with one another. Let there be war no more.
Amen.
Why? Because the devil will be in the lake of fire. There'll be no devil there in the new heavens and the earth. There'll be no energizing principle anymore to prey upon fallen humanity to cause these things. But the earth's going to be filled and flooded with the glory
Amen.
Of the light of the Lamb Amen. And his atmosphere. And the nations are going to come in and bring their tithings to the bride. The bride will reign as kings and priests in the city, and the nations round and about will bring in their tribute into the city, and there'll be war no more. It's a kingdom of peace. It's a kingdom of blessedness, friends. It's a fruitful place where there's death no more. There's no more teardrops. There's no more sorrow. There's no more pain. The prophet says there's no more turning over the soil to make a grave anymore. There's nothing like that once the devil is bound.
Amen.
There's no more causing people to backslide and looking at the graves of what might have been. There's nothing like that. It's the devil that we give the opportunity to express himself. And these are the attributes of his. And friends, it's good for the sons and daughters of God to not give him that opportunity anymore. The prophet says in Future Home, he says, now he gets right to the end and he speaks of that great city. And he speaks of this great city that John saw. Now we know the millennium is but a type. There's going to be Jerusalem in the millennium. There's going to be a millennial temple. And there's going to be the bride dwelling in Jerusalem. And there's going to be nations round and about. Because Christ and his bride will rule and reign over the nations. So it's going to be very interesting to see who those nations are. But the prophet says, the earth, when it comes back into the beauty of Eden once again.
Amen.
He said it's a taste of the new heavens and the new earth.
Amen.
And in the new heavens and the new earth, the bride dwells in the city.
Amen.
There's only one bride. There's only one dwelling place. There's only one city.
Amen.
There's no different dwelling places.
Amen.
There's no need of the temple there because the Lamb is the
Amen.
Temple. There's only one temple. There's only one object of worship.
Hallelujah.
There's only one gathering place. There's only one uniting principle there, and that's the Lamb. And all of the attributes of fallen humanity, our own misguided opinions, our own misunderstandings of each other, they've long passed away.
Hallelujah.
There'll be no more. The former things have passed away. They've all passed away. And before, when we knew in part, now we know as we are known. Before, when we saw things darkly as in a glass, now we'll know as we are known. Now we'll know him the way we should know him. Now we'll know each other the way that we should really know each other. Because there's nothing to come in the way anymore, friends. And that is the perfect will of God. And that is what He desires for His sons and daughters. That there'll be no more war. Because He's the Prince of Peace. And then the prophet, when he finishes Future Home, he says, now, if we are to dwell in that city together, just shake hands with somebody and say, God bless you, pilgrim. Where are you from? Are you from Louisiana, Georgia, Mississippi? I'm a pilgrim too. And I'm looking for the city. Friends, if you could realize we have so much to unite us. We have such a future which God has ordained for us together. God has put us in this day and this age together. And anything that wants to take us apart, let's discern and see what it is, friends. It's the devil. And anything that wants to stir up strife, and anything that wants to bring tears and wants to bring sorrow, anything that wants to make the garden of God unfruitful once again, let's discern who it is. It's the same serpent that did it in the beginning. When Adam and the bride were dwelling in paradise, what is it that caused it to come to be what it is? They listened to the hiss of the serpent. They listened to the lies of the enemy. When he came and he accused and he says, did God really say this? And he got them to question and doubt. God's trying to hold something good back from you. And that caused the fall. Friends, it's the work of the enemy. But the prophet says it's good for us to recognize that we fellow pilgrims, that we're heading towards a city. We're heading towards a place. We're heading towards a dwelling place that God has prepared for us to dwell together. And we'll be united there. The prophet says, I'm looking for that city, Brother Neville. He says, Brother Caps, I'm looking for that city yet tonight. And then Brother Ham starts to sing that song. And its glories are there shall behold. What a joy that will be when my Savior I see in that beautiful city of God. Then he says, oh, the bear will be gentle. And the wolf will be tame. And the lion shall lay down by the lamb. Oh, yes. And the beast from the wild will be led by a little child. And I'll be changed. Change from this creature that I am, oh yes. Oh, there'll be peace in the valley for me someday. There'll be peace in the valley for me, right, yes. There'll be no more sorrow, no more sadness, no trouble I'll see. There'll be peace in the valley for me. He says, our invisible King this morning will be made manifest. And I won't look upon Brother Bill Dow at 90 years old. You won't look upon me as 50. But I'll be changed on that day. When the beast from the wild will be led by a little child, I'll be changed. Changed from this creature that I am. Won't you be glad? Gray hairs will be gone. Stooped shoulders will be gone. But beauty, immortal, will stand in His likeness. The sun to outshine. He says, oh, wonderful. There'll be no sadness. No more sorrow. No trouble I'll see. There'll be peace in the valley for me. Oh, yes. Let's stand, saints. Let's sing that song. There'll be peace in the valley for me. Oh, yes. We're looking for a city, friends, whose builder and maker is God.
And so weary, but I must grow alone till the Lord comes and calls me away. Oh, yes. Well, the morning is bright, and the Lamb is the light, and the night is fair as the day. Oh, yes. There be peace in the valley for me someday. There'll be peace in the valley for me. Oh Lord, I say, there'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no more trouble I'll see. There'll be peace in the valley for me. Oh yes. There the flowers will be blooming, the for us will be green, and the skies will be clear and serene. Oh yes, while the sun ever beams in this valley of dreams, and no clouds that will ever be seen. Oh yes, there'll be peace in the valley for me. Oh, someday there'll be peace in the valley for me. Oh Lord, I pray there'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There'll be peace in the valley for me. Oh yes, well the bear will be gentle, and the wolf will be tame, and the lion shall lay down by the lamb. Oh yes, well the beast from the wild shall be led by a little child. I'll be changed from this creature that I am. Oh yes, oh, there'll be peace in the valley for me. Someday there'll be peace in the valley for me. Oh Lord, I pray there'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There'll be peace in the valley for me. Oh, yes. There'll be peace in the valley for me. Oh, peace in the valley. There'll be peace in the valley for me. Oh, Lord, I pray there'll be no sadness, no sorrow. Peace in the valley for me. Start again, Rapa. Oh, yes. Well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me away. Oh, yes. Well, I'm tired and so weary. Will be blooming, and the grass will be green, and the skies will be clear as the while the sun ever beams in this valley of dreams, when the clouds ever leave be seen. Oh, there'll be peace in me. Someday there'll be peace in the valley for me. Oh Lord, I pray there'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There'll be peace in the valley for me. Oh yes, well the bear will be gentle, wolf will be tame, and the lion shall lay down by the lamb. Oh yes, well the beast from the wild shall be led by a little child, and the chains from this creature that I... Oh, there'll be peace in the valley for me. Oh, there'll be peace, there'll be peace.
grave, there'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no tribulation. He'll be peace in the valley. Oh, oh, there'll be peace. Oh, Lord, I pray there'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble. I see there'll be peace in the valley for me. Oh, yes, in that name of perfect day lies a city whose square it shall never pass away, and there is no, oh, God shall wash away your tears. There's no death, no pain, no peace, and the count I'm not biased, for there is no, oh, the count and the count. All the gates of Pilar laid in that city whose square. All the streets of gold are laid, and there is no, oh, God shall wipe away your tears. There's no death, pain, no pain, no fears, and they count I'm not biased, for there is no
nightmare.
Yes, they count and they count I'm not biased,
for there is no nightmare,
and the gates shall never close to the city.
Their life's crystal river flows, and there is no
nightmare. Oh, God shall wipe away your tears. There's no death, no pain, no fears, and their count I'm not biased,
for there is no
nightmare.
Sunshine bright in that city,
oh, in that city,
for the land is all the light,
and there is no
night there.
Oh,
God shall wipe away your tears. There's no
death,
no pain, no fears,
and they count I'm not by it.
Let's bow our heads, saints. Saints, you know where you are today. You know exactly where you stand before the Lord. Maybe you need Him. That's the best thing to do, is why don't you call upon His name? Whatever the situation that you have inside of your life, the greatest thing that you can do is submit yourself to the Lord. The greatest thing you can do is commit your ways to Him. The greatest thing that you can do is just yield yourself. Just bring yourself to the altar. Just lay yourself on the altar. And just prevail and overcome over yourself. Until the Prince of Peace can step down into that situation. And He can lead you and guide you. And everything that He does prospers. He's never done anything that doesn't prosper, saints. Whatever you need before the Lord, let's speak to Him a little bit. Let's call upon His name. Sometimes you've got to rest a little bit to break through. Because of this congestion, because of the suppression of the enemy, because of these atmospheres that surround us. But how wonderful that it is when your soul gets back in fellowship, back in contact with the one who governs your destiny, and you commit your ways to him, and he leads you and guides you. Let that be the inheritance of the saints upon this day. Let's all call upon the name of the Lord. Let's bring ourselves before his gracious altar at this time. Father, we look unto thee, Lord. Father, upon this day, let us continue in worship, saints.
There is a land shining
and honey.
There is a land where we don't need money.
There is a land shining with jasper. There we shall see
our
blessed Messiah.
Oh,
and that's the reason we shout hallelujah, we're praising our King. Across the river, the shining river, where the saints shall gather, there we shall see our blessed Messiah. Elijah has come,
he has done his work already, as Jonah said. The bride has made ready,
and now we are waiting for the coming of Jesus. For that blessed day when the Lamb shall take us.
Oh, and that's the reason we shout hallelujah,
we're praising our King.
Across the river,
that shining river, where the saints will gather, there we shall see our blessed Messiah. Our hopes are bright, our lamps are burning, day by day our hearts are yearning. This Easter evening he will come in the morning. Then we shall wait until the dawning.
Oh, and that's the reason we shout hallelujah,
we are praising our King.
Across the river,
that shining river, where the saints shall gather, there we shall see our blessed Messiah.
It's in one more. Amen.
I don't know why
Jesus loves me.
Oh,
I don't know why he cares.
I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did.
He left his mighty throne in glory,
oh,
to bring to us redemption story.
Then he died, but he rose again. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. I don't know why.
I don't know why
Jesus loves me.
Oh, I don't know why he cares. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? Where would I be if he didn't care? Where would I be if he hadn't sacrificed his life? Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he. I don't know why.
I don't know why Jesus loves me.
I don't know why.
I don't know why he cares.
I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did.
I'm glad that he did. I don't know about you, I'm really and truly glad that he did. What a difference. Imagine if he hadn't have done it for us. Imagine if Christ hadn't have come. Imagine if he hadn't have left his mighty throne in glory to come and take on the form of a servant and humble himself. And what caused him to do it?
Amen.
Like the song says, when he was on the cross, you were on his mind.
Hallelujah.
And that was the governing principle that he had. That's love. That's the greatness of love. Let's sing that song, Such Love, that God should love a sinner such as I.
That God should love a sinner such as I, should yearn to change my sorrow into bliss, nor rest till he had planned to bring me night. How wonderful is love like this.
Oh, such love,
such love, such wondrous love.
Oh, such love,
such love, such wondrous love. That God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this, that Christ should join so freely in the scheme. Although it meant his death on Calvary, did ever you mankind find nobler thing than love divine that ransomed
me? Oh, such love,
such love, such wondrous love,
such love,
such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this, that for a willful outcast such as I, the Father planned, the Savior bled at night. Redemption for the worthless slave to buy, who longed love and grace to find.
Oh, such love,
such love, such wondrous love.
Oh, such love,
such love, such wondrous love. That God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful.
wonderful is love like this. And now it takes me through his heart to sigh. He asked him no to fill a servant's place for far off one, three wanderings all a time, wide open eyes and oh, great.
Oh, such love, such love,
such wondrous love.
Oh, such love,
such love,
such wondrous love.
That God
should love
a sinner such as I.
How wonderful is God
like this.
Let's bow our heads. We ask Brother George, you wouldn't mind closing for us. Let's keep Brother Tommy in prayer, Saints. He's away in Australia for a month. He's been there just over a week now. He's gone there to take meetings for the saints that are there. So if you'd really keep him in your prayers, that the Lord may prosper him when he's there. And this week on Friday is youth meeting once again, Saints. It won't be a normal service. We'll have youth. Please keep that in your prayers as well.
Amen.
Just ask Brother George to close for us.
Father Jesus, we're so grateful, Father, for all you have done for us.
Yes, Lord.
Father, from yesterday, Lord, we're grateful, Lord, that, Father, you even, Lord, Father, oh God, if you could say it with great respect, took your time and came down personally. Father, Lord, and you confirmed, Father, your presence in all that was done yesterday and today.
Oh, Lord.
Father, what a good thing it is, Lord. We're not saying, Father, we leave church here.
Oh, Lord.
Father, we want to take it with us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Wherever we go, Father, as we sing, we want to take the name of Jesus. Father, wherever we go, that
yes,
precious
Lord.
Name,
yes,
Father.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Hope of earth and joy of heaven, O God. Yes. Jesus, we look unto thee, for thou art Lord, Savior, Father, our ultimate Lord.
Amen.
Thou art Lord, Savior, that we lack in our relationships, that
yes,
we
Lord.
Lack in our homes,
Amen.
that we lack even in our health.
Yes,
Father, Lord, if we could just,
Amen.
Lord, Savior, if we could say it in respect, if we could take a dose of Jesus in all our situations,
yes,
it would
yes,
change
Lord.
The entire, Lord, outlook to all circumstances.
Amen.
We
yes,
ask
Lord.
Your grace, Father, and we are thankful, Father, that, Lord, Father, we are so privileged.
Oh,
we
Lord.
Don't realize how blessed and how honored we are, Father,
oh,
to
Lord.
Be part and parcel of the kingdom of God.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, God. Father, we're not, Lord Savior, looking afar, but we're looking now, Father, to see even now the blessings that you give for us.
Yes,
day
Lord.
By day, Father, there's Amen. So many things in store, Father, for us.
Amen.
If we just yield ourselves, Father, and
Amen.
We take that path of Christ.
Amen.
Jesus, we are grateful, Father.
Yes,
we are
Lord.
So thankful for all your faithfulness, Lord, for your
oh,
goodness,
God.
Lord. And even in your word, Father, for Lord, we not going away, Father, empty today. Father, we've been well nourished this day, Father.
Oh,
we were fed sumptuously, Father, from your word, O God.
Oh, Lord.
Father, Lord, you've pointed out various aspects amidst my life, Lord, that I'm grateful for, Father.
Amen.
Oh, God, knowing indeed, Lord, the greatest of all is always to watch the wicked one, Father.
Amen.
Oh God is always looking and seeking for whom he may devour, Lord,
Amen.
Savior God.
Yes,
but
Lord,
as long as we know he's looking, Lord, Father, we are also looking out for him, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Father, knowing indeed, Lord, Savior, he would come dressed as this and that, Lord. Father, Lord, he'd come in various forms, oh God.
Yes,
but
Lord.
As long as, Lord, we are all locked in Jesus, Lord, as
Amen.
Long as we are tied
Amen.
In thee, oh God, he
Amen.
Can never touch us, oh God.
Yes,
and
Lord.
We are grateful,
yes,
Father,
Lord.
Because,
yes,
Lord. Lord, Savior, we never chose, Father, to be here this morning. We never chose to be a part of this assembly, oh God,
yes,
but you chose us long before
Amen.
Creation. You
yes,
chose
Lord.
Us and you placed us carefully together, oh God,
oh,
even in this very land, Lord, even in this very building, Lord, Savior God,
Amen.
At this very time, Lord, Savior God.
Amen.
It's all, Father, for a purpose and a plan. Father,
Amen.
But whilst we are here, we desire to serve thee with joy amidst our heart, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
When we would come on Wednesdays, Lord, we desire to serve thee with joy amidst our hearts
yes,
on Fridays
Lord.
And Sundays, oh God,
Amen.
Knowing indeed, Lord, Savior, that, Lord, if there be any opportunity, Lord, where we can do something is in this day, Lord, Savior
yes,
God.
Lord,
Father,
yes,
we are not leaving it, Lord, for the next, Lord, Savior, Father, dimension, but we desire to do as much as we can in this
yes,
dimension, Lord, Savior
Hallelujah.
God. Lord, I'd rather rather burn myself out for the things of the kingdom than burn myself out for the things of this world, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
God. Lord, we've seen, Lord, Father, when we trust in our jobs, Lord, how we come to an old age with all these various dementias and, Lord, Savior, Alzheimer's, Lord, because Amen. We've given ourselves over too much to the things of this life, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Lord, I desire, Lord, Savior God, to serve Thee with all my heart, Lord, Amen. That, Lord, Father, in this life and in this day, to be a mighty man for Your kingdom, O
yes,
God.
Lord.
We ask Your grace, Lord, desiring, O God, as Your word is ministered upon this day, we desire to see the fullness of this word. Lord, this word Amen. Being made manifest, Lord, Savior God, where, Lord, Savior, we'd be that church, Lord, that would be so united, Lord, Savior God.
Amen.
Lord, the church, Lord, would be filled at all times, Lord.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
Even outside service times, people will be praying and seeking God. Oft, Lord, even in this church, Lord, Savior
Amen.
God. Lord, knowing indeed, Lord, when we get to that stage, Lord, Savior God, then You would point us to the various people surrounding Amen. These areas, Lord,
yes,
that
Lord.
Need salvation, Lord, Savior
Amen.
God. But help us to fix up our lives, Lord.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
To straighten up our ways, Lord, Savior God.
Amen.
Knowing indeed, Lord, when we do that, Lord, Savior God, Lord, we are considering our young, Lord, Savior God.
Amen.
We're considering the future, Lord, Savior God, for it's in the young, Lord, Savior God.
Amen.
Lord, if You would tarry, Lord, Savior God, Father, maybe, Lord, there'd be, Lord, Savior, in this, Lord, Savior, Lord, our young, there'd be preachers, there'd be song leaders, there'd
Amen.
Be everything, Lord, to finish, Lord, Savior, Your church, Lord. Guide
Amen.
Us as we part. Keep us, Lord, Savior God, and help us to keep
Please, Lord.
This Thine word at our heart, Lord, Savior God. We are grateful, Father. Bless our Lord Pastor who's labored,
Please,
Lord, Savior, faithfully, Lord, Savior, these
Amen.
Past 2 days, Lord, Savior God. Bless His ADCs, Lord, Savior God. Them He works hand in hand with, Lord, Savior God.
Amen.
Give us grace now, even as we part. We desire to take Thy name with us
Amen.
Amidst our heart. We ask and commit all things
Amen.
Before Thee. Bless us until our next service in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. May the Lord be with you as we dismiss in Jesus' name.
Where He would lead me, I will go. For I have learned to trust Him so. And I remember 'twas
for me
that He was slain on Calvary.
Will He lead me? Jesus shall lead me,
night and day. Jesus shall lead me all the way.
He is the truest
of friends
to me. To be led by His dear hand, oh, His divine will is sweet to me, hallowed by blood-stained Calvary. Oh, He'll lead me, Jesus shall lead me, night and day. Shall lead me all the way. He is the truest of friends to me. For I remember Calvary. Oh, onward I go. No doubt, no fear. Happy with Christ, my Savior near, trusting that Son. Oh, I shall see Jesus, my friend on Calvary. Oh, He'll lead me, Jesus shall lead me, night and day. Jesus shall lead me all the way. He is the truest of friends to me. For I remember Calvary. For I remember
remember